Welcome to the Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Leah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Beis, Chapter 2. This Perek, like the Perek before, is an introduction to the whole Sefer, to the whole book. It gives us background and introduction to what's going to come next. Because they did not work hard enough to get rid of the Kanaanim, as we spoke about yesterday, a Malach, a messenger, comes to berate them. This Malach is Pinchas, and he says in Pasuk Beis in verse 2, "You did not get rid of them, v'lay shamatem b'koili. You didn't listen to my voice. Mazois asisem. What have you done? And because you didn't do your work," in Pasuk Gimel verse 3, "v'gam amarti le'agareish ha'sam upneichem. You're not actively working to get rid of them. I'm not going to do that work for you. V'hayu lachem letzidim. They're going to be for you as thorns. V'elehehem yiyu lachem lemoikesh. And their gods are going to be for you a stumbling block." And when the Jews heard this, they cried, because they were genuinely good people, and they recognized their mistakes. And as they do, time after time after time throughout the Sefer, they repented, and they called this place Bochim, crying for the tears they had shed. Then we go through a bit of history, how in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Ve'yavdu ha'am es Hashem kol yimei Yoshua, ve'kol yimei haskenim. They served Hashem throughout the days of Yoshua, and also throughout the days of the skenim, asher ha'erichu yamim achrei Yoshua. The elders that were with them, with Yehoshua, during the time of Yehoshua, and also outlived Yehoshua, during all those times, the Jews did serve Hashem. But then in Pasuk Ches in verse 8, Yehoshua dies at the age of 110, and he's buried in a place called Timnas Cheres, which is in Har Ephraim, in the mountain of Ephraim, Mitzafon Nahar Gaash, north of Har Gaash. Har Gaash literally means a volcano. And this raises an interesting question, because there is no volcano geographically at this place. So Rashi says, Har Gaash, what does it mean, Har Gaash, a volcano? Melamed teaches us, Sharaash Aleim Hahar Lahargam. The whole mountain started to shake and it was going to kill them. Why? Lefi Shalehi Spiduhu Karaoi. They didn't give him a proper mourning. We don't see any public mourning for him like we saw for Moshe, for Aaron, for other leaders. Where was the mourning? Where were the tears? And it says that, yes, the Skenim lived more days, b'kol yimei haskenim, and all the days of the Skenim that lived a few days after Yeshua. They lived days longer, but not years, because they too were punished for not mourning him properly. And this begs the question, so why didn't they mourn him properly? Didn't he do enough for him, for them, for the Jewish nation? And the answer that gives is so disturbing and so resonant, if we're listening. They were busy with their material pursuits, setting up their properties. They didn't have the headspace or the recognition or the proper depth of mourning to give him the proper mourning that he deserved. And then we get a summary of the cycle, which will repeat itself in Sefer Shoftim, a general summary. First, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael es hara b'nei Hashem. The Jews start doing bad in the eyes of Hashem, Vayavdu es ha'ba'alim, and they start to serve the idols. And then, Vayazvu es Hashem elekei avosam, they leave Hashem, the God of their fathers, Motziosam Eretz Mitzrayim, who took them out of the land of Mitzrayim, Vayachu acharei elehim acharim elehei ha'amim asher sviviseihem. And they start to serve the idols, the gods that the nations that are around them serve, Vayishtachavu lahem, and they bow down to them, Vayachisu es Hashem, and they make Hashem angry. And when we read this, we might think that this was widespread sinning and no one was doing what Hashem wanted. The reality, as we will see, is somewhat different. It wasn't everyone, and it wasn't always. However, the expectations were so great. Here is a generation and everything is done for you. They get their land, basically without having to do anything. Hashem is fighting for them, and they should have been perfect when they weren't. Even if it wasn't all of them, even if it was some of them, even if it was a few of them, even if it was only for a small amount of time, it's a great tefillah. It was a great prosecution against them. How could you? And the way down is gradual. They leave the god of their fathers, but they still serve him somewhat, and then they go after other gods also, and then they bow down to them, and then they end up really angering Hashem. And so too the reaction. In Pasuk Yudalit in 14, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem gets angry. Vayitnem b'yad shoysim. Vayashusu oisam. And he gives them in the hands of their enemies, and the enemies destroy them. Vayim kurei b'yad oivehem misaviv. First the enemies come, and then Hashem sells them in the hands of their enemies. V'leyachlu oid la'amid l'fnei oivehem. And we can't stand before our enemies. And then in Pasuk Tesvav, in verse 15, it gets even worse. B'chol asher yatzu yad Hashem haysabam l'ra'a. What it feels like to them is whatever we try and do, Hashem is actively working against us. Hashem could have left them to their own devices, but the Tana Devei Eliyahu says he didn't want to leave them to their own devices. He wanted to treat them like his children, punishing them for their own good in order to bring them back. It says, Ba'os Hasha'a, at that time, Amar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Banai Sarvanim Heim, my children, they're refusers, literally it means. They're rebels. L'chalaisan Iyavshar, I can't destroy them. They're my children. L'achziran L'mitzrayim Iyavshar, should I take them back to Egypt? No. L'achlifan Be'uma Acheres, Eini Yochal, to switch them with a different nation? I can't. Elama'a Eselahem, so what should I do to them? Hareini Miyasran B'Yisurim, I'm going to be miyaser them. I'm going to make them struggle with yisurim, with terrible difficulties. Umitzarfan, and I'm going to cleanse them, birei avain, with a hunger. Bimei shvait hashayftim, in the time when the judges ruled. And therefore it says, and the pasuk is a quote from Megillas Rus, which happens during the time of the shayftim. The story, the famous story of Rus, the Megillah of Rus, is placed during this time period. And the first pasuk of Megillas Rus is, Vayihi bimei shvait hashayftim, at the time that the judges were ruling, Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. And therefore there's a hunger in the land. And this is just one example of the many, many difficulties that we have because we abandoned Hashem and He wanted to bring us back. And the point is to get them to wake up. The Dor HaMidbar saw Hashem and they saw Him in front of them, and therefore it was real and it would be everlasting. Something that goes in only through the intellect doesn't have lasting power. Hashem needed them to know it, but also to feel it by understanding that something isn't making sense here. We are a nation that is led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How come we're losing these wars? How come the enemies are coming? And by actually feeling the pain of the wars, it should stimulate something inside them that would make them understand and come back. The time of the Shoftim is a classic example of Tachas Asher Le'avadata Es Hashem Elekecha B'Simcha, because we didn't serve Hashem with joy. Why? Me'roiv Kol, because we had so much. This is a pasuk in the final message of Moshe Rabbeinu to his nation before he leaves them, and he says, be very careful. When things are really good, there's a danger that you're going to forget who the good comes from. The Jews had a tremendous amount of wealth amassed from their wars. They are spread out amongst the land, but transportation wasn't so easy. The only thing they had were their chumashim, their Torahs, right? There wasn't anything else that they were learning from, and probably not too many of those. The first generation, they got plowed fields and built up homes, the ones that inherited that from the Canaanim. But the next generation already has to work. They have to work, and they have to build, and they have to do. And they weren't used to doing all that and learning Torah at the same time. Surrounding Eretz Yisrael and within were many nations, all against the idea of Hashem, of one God, and they were idol worshippers. And of course, we're talking about a young nation. Not too long ago, the Jews are also idol worshippers in Mitzrayim. The non-Jews go and make parties and celebrations, and the Jews were watching, and they were subtly influenced by them. There were many, many different enemies that are going to come, and we'll see most nations do not come back for a second try. And those who did so only after hundreds of years. The enemies were Aram and Moab and Canaanim, the Canaanim that were in the land, and the Midianim and the Ammonim and the Plishtim. And what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks is going through all the different wars. And that's the cycle of falling. We leave Hashem. Hashem comes and sends the enemies. The enemies fight us, and we lose the wars. And then we wake up, and we cry out, and Hashem hears us and sends us someone to help. Vayakam Hashem shoftim, and Hashem sets up the judges, the leaders, vayoshiu miyad shoseihem, and saves them from their enemies. But pretty soon after, in Pasuk Yizayin, in verse 17, Vigam el shefteim leshamu. But even to these judges, we didn't always listen. Kizanu achrei lehim achirim biyishtachavu lehem, because we went after the idols and we bowed to them. Saru maher min haderach asher halchu avaysam. We left the path of our fathers and we left it so quickly. And because the cycle keeps on repeating itself, we see that the tshuva was never totally complete. However, again, important to note, as we said yesterday, the situation was on the whole peaceful. Even when there was fighting, it was far more peaceful than in other places. However, it could have been 100% peaceful. The purpose, as we'll see in Pasuk Chaf Beis, is to test them. Lema'an nasayis bam es Yisrael, in order to test by them, through them, the Jewish nation. Hashomrim heim es derech Hashem, lalechis bam. Are these people going to follow the path of Hashem, to go on it like their fathers did, or not? And the purpose of this test, which is called a nisayon, is the same word as nes. A nes is a miracle, but a nes is also a flag of honor. When a person is tested and withstands, they come through much stronger, holding a flag. Who are you? Are you people who follow Hashem? There are many different times, types, trials, different ways that we're going to have to prove ourselves. They will be serving their idols in our land. There will be such a lack of clarity. And at times it will seem that Hashem is fighting against us. How it feels like nothing has changed. We have to remember that this nation, the Jewish nation at the time of the Shoftim, has been used to living a life of Me'al Derech HaTeva. Hashem did everything for them, the man, the clouds. Now they will have to look hard to recognize Hashem and His hand, as we do. Will they do it? Can they do it? This is the story of Sefer Shoftim. The parak ends by stating that this is why the nations were left behind, to act as a test to help us grow. This is a perspective that we should have, that when we sometimes feel like things are so difficult, complicated, confusing, why is Hashem doing this to me? And we can reframe and say, not why is He doing this to me, but why is He doing this for me? How can I use this challenge to stretch and to grow? Thank you for learning together with me in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the families of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.